You're listening to the Whole Hog Sports Podcast. And now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, welcome in. Arkansas got swept over the weekend by Florida. We'll talk about it today on our podcast. It's brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a third-generation family-owned business serving Northwest Arkansas since 1976. Just like great baseball programs, H&R is built on consistency, trust, and doing things the right way. No shortcuts and no gimmicks at H&R Tire and Auto. We're also brought to you by Eglin's Best. When it comes to your game day, you want the best in your lineup. That includes your eggs. Eglin's Best delivers more the nutrition you need with six times more vitamin D and 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. You can score now with Eglin's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. For more information, visit eglinsbest.com. And we're brought to you by Southern Loft. They believe your home should reflect your unique personality. That's why they offer a wide variety of stylish furniture pieces that are perfect for any taste. Whether you're looking for a new sofa for the living room, a sleek dining table for your kitchen, they've got just what you need. When you're looking for that piece of furniture that reflects you, visit Southern Loft at 3155 North College Avenue in Fayetteville or call 479-856-6100. It has been 10 years since Arkansas has been swept at home. Alabama in 2016 was the last team to do it. And, of course, that was part of that just dreadful end of that season where Arkansas lost 13 in a row. Florida did it this weekend, and Bubba Carpenter, I thought that Florida – I think two things are true here. I think Arkansas did not play well. I think Florida played extremely well. And I think Florida played, you know, to its potential. I mean, we had Jacob Rudner on the show last Thursday, and he said something to the effect. He said that Florida, when things are good, they look like a national championship contender. They look like maybe the most talented team in the country. At their worst, he said, they look like a team that doesn't even belong in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, they had just gotten swept by Alabama. I think that Alabama sweep looks totally different now in retrospect because Alabama just swept Auburn, too, on the same field. And so none of that's to excuse what happened with Arkansas. They did not pitch well. I thought that, you know, their approach at the plate wasn't real good for at least a couple of games. But I think at the same time, you do kind of have to tip your cap to Florida and say, that's a really good team. They beat up on Florida State on Tuesday before they came to Fayetteville, and it looks like they're getting really hot at the right time.
Well, I think – I guess the short answer to that is they just outplayed us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really did. They're starting pitching. You know, we saw two guys they brought out of the pen, the Barbary guy and the Ridenour guy. They've got as good a stuff as I've seen.
One throws 101, one throws 102.
Yeah.
And it's amazing.
And their secondary – and what's crazy is they throw that hard, mm-hmm. and they're throwing 70% – sliders. Mm-hmm. Barbary's got a 93 mile an hour changeup. I mean, that's just disgusting stuff. Those guys will pitch in the big leagues for a long time. So you can say, okay, well, we had 17 strikeouts in the first two games. A lot of teams are going to – no, we had 27 Ks.
Yeah, 16 and then 11.
Yeah, in the first two games. A lot of teams are going to strike out against that. Dude, I didn't read too much into that. I think that we just got dominated by two guys that had really good days. You know, and even the lefty they brought in was good. I can't even say his last name.
Lugo Conchola.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah. I asked Phil, I said, I hope this guy has a nickname because I can't say that. I think we called him ELC,
Ernesto.
I think is what we called him.
You know, he was anyway, the Division II National Pitcher of the Year last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got good stuff.
Yeah.
So all their dudes out of the bullpen, not to mention Liam Peterson, I thought he was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was fantastic. Aiden King I thought was really good. They came in and just outplayed us. And I think sometimes you got to tip your hat to them. I thought we showed a lot of fight on Sunday. I thought we had a chance to come back and win that. I thought Reese's ball to right field, 105, 106 off the bat, 23-degree launch angle. That ball should be halfway up the net. Mm-hmm. It didn't even make it to the warning track. Mm-hmm. I think he topped it just a little bit. But and Christian Turner's ball in the ninth should be a home run. I thought it was gone off the bat. And then I lose sight of it, you know, kind of looking out at my window and saw where it went foul. But, you know, I do want to say one thing, though. We got swept, but overall for me, it was a win for Razorback baseball because of the whole Norm DeBrine celebration, retiring the jerseys. I thought the jerseys looked awesome on Friday night. I think so. As a whole, you know, for Razorback baseball, I thought the weekend was a win, just in everything that went around Norm DeBrine honoring him. But, you know, it would have been nice to come out and play just a little bit better, you know, on a weekend, when you're, especially when you're wearing a number 23 on your back.
Yeah, I thought the way they – I was really interested to see Sunday how they responded. Like, are they going to come out and are they going to get just – Like steamrolled, or they can come out and they fought, and I thought that was a good sign. The fact that there was some, you know, because it would have been really easy to come out in that game three and just kind of, I don't know if roll over is the right word, but you know, Florida's a better team this weekend, and I thought on Sunday they had 17 hits. I thought that kind of showed maybe why there was so much nibbling going on in those first two games. You know, they get ahead. I think Dave Van Horn had the comment after Friday's game. He said, you know, it's 1-2, nibble, now it's 3-2. And because when they were coming over the plate, those guys from Florida, and they got some real prospects in their lineup, like Surowick and Lawson and Kyle Jones and some others, boy, they were locked in this week and ready to hit. And that's been the thing you haven't seen from Florida consistently, probably over a three-game period like they had this weekend.
Yeah, they were way better than I thought they were. I mean, I didn't think they were going to hit like that. The thing I noticed is, like, they know what their strength is. You know, the big first baseman, Surowick, I mean, obviously he's looking for balls out over the plate. He's looking to drive the ball to right center. He did cheat on one fastball in. Everything else went center, right center. You got Sear. He's looking to pull the ball. Everything he hit was hard to left field. You know, you got to kind of combat that. But they did a good job of waiting until they got a pitch that they wanted to drive. Mm-hmm. When they got it, they didn't miss it. You know, I say all the time that, you know, good pitching is, you know, you get ahead with strikes, you get outs with balls. And they weren't chasing those pitches. And then we end up getting a pitch over the zone, and they would hammer it.
I think part of it's so rare. I mean, again, it's been 10 years since they've been swept at home. But then even beyond that, I looked this up after Saturday's game. It had been 9 years since they'd even been down 2-0 in a series at home. They just don't lose home series very often, and certainly they don't get dominated in home series like they did this weekend. It was really, I don't know, it was a weird feeling, because you just don't see that on that field with that team very much.
Right. But so I watched the dugout a lot. You know, I watched DVH. I watched, you know, we joked around about Kevin O'Sullivan last week, how he looked in the dugout after getting about to be swept from Alabama. And you don't ever see that from our coaching staff. They're pretty even keel. But I watched our dugout a lot on Sunday, and I like the fight. I like the energy in the dugout. To me, that says a lot. They're a team they're not going to give up. We got swept at home. It happens. It's early in the year, 21 SEC games left. There's still plenty of time to get things turned around and kind of get going in the right direction. You know, the hard part is, you know, it was March 29th, and we're still experimenting with a lineup that works. And I think that's the frustrating part for DVH, is still trying to figure out. He's so good at putting together a lineup that works, putting together a pitching staff that works, who should start, who should be middle relief, who should be back into the bullpen. And it's crazy to think we're at the end of March and we're still trying to figure that out.
I don't think that much surprised me about what happened offensively. I figured that they would probably struggle to score runs against a pitching staff that is as good as Florida's is. I mean, you're talking about Peterson. He's a first-round pick this year. Aiden King's a first-round pick next year. Even Sandifer, who threw on Sunday, you know, he's a decent prospect for this year. I think he's in Baseball America's top 300. Then you mentioned the bullpen guys who came in, Barbary and Reitnauer, and even Luke McNeely, who pitched a couple of times.
Yeah, he's good.
He's a big-time prospect. And so that part didn't surprise me. What I thought the frustrating part for the weekend was not throwing strikes. Because we haven't seen that from this Razorback team. And honestly, it's been a long time since we've seen it from any Razorback team. Is, you know, not putting the ball over the plate, not throwing it in the strike zone. I mean, they had 22 free passes on Friday and Saturday, 18 of those being walks. Do you realize that going into Sunday's game, they had issued 92 walks this year? 18 of them, so about 20%, had come in those first two games against Florida. Like, I mean, to say that was out of character and abnormal would be an understatement. That was the part. And it wasn't just one pitcher. Yeah, Gabe Gackle didn't start well. Well, Hunter Dietz, you know, he had the same problem. And, you know, other pitchers, Eaves and Coyle, who are pretty good strike throwers, they kept it in the zone. But there were a lot of pitchers who, you know, you think are going to throw strikes, and they just didn't this weekend. It, I don't know. It almost felt like when it rains, it pours, and it's a little bit contagious, that inability to throw strikes.
Well, I go back to starting pitching. You look at what our starters go, 7 2/3, gave up 9 runs.
Yeah.
Man, that makes it tough, especially when your Friday night guy goes an inning and a third.
Yeah.
Look what that does to your bullpen.
Yep.
All of a sudden, everybody's in a different role that they're not used to being in. And, you know, baseball players are creatures of habit, not making excuses. I'm just saying that all of a sudden that puts a lot of pressure on a bullpen, you know, when your Friday night guy goes an inning and a third. And yeah, I don't know if it was the weather. You and I talked about it. I think we both agree Gabe Gackle pitches better when it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, if you're going to pitch in the big leagues, there's a lot of cold days in the big leagues. So you got to figure that out. But, you know, hopefully he get it figured out, because that just wasn't – we got to have better on a Friday night.
Yeah, it's just a hypothesis with Gackle. You know what I mean? And we also think that he pitches better out of the bullpen than he does as a starting pitcher. Well, he's gone to the bullpen late last season when it's getting warmer, when you expect pitchers to pitch better because it's later in the season. And so all of it, it's – I don't know. But you do look at like some of his best early season performances all 3 years were when they played down in Arlington indoors. Or, you know, like this year, I think his best performance that he's had, maybe outside of the Oklahoma State game in Arlington, was the South Carolina game when he's pitching – in warmer weather. I mean, like, it felt like his velocity, well, it didn't feel like his velocity was up at South Carolina. It looked like his off-speed pitches had a little bit better bite to them. And you can say, well, that's because they played South Carolina and South Carolina. But I'm not talking about stats. I'm talking about stuff.
Stuff.
The stuff looked better at South Carolina. And so you thought maybe he had turned a corner and he was going to have, you know, and this is a chance for him to, and it just didn't look good against Florida the other night. And I don't know what they're going to do with him in terms of staying in the starting rotation. I mean, Van Horn was asked about the rotation as a whole yesterday. And, you know, he made a comment that you and I were talking about the day before, is if you're going to make a change to the rotation, going into Auburn is not necessarily the time to do it because you got that shorter turnaround. So, like, if you wanted to move Hunter Dietz to your number one role, you don't want to do that with him already. Like, you don't want to make it 2 days shorter rest for him than what he normally has. So maybe Alabama is the better time to do that. But I wonder about Cole Gibler. I mean, Cole Gibler's a Friday arm. He's been throwing 3 to 5 innings, it feels like, most Fridays, when he threw 4 2/3 the other night.
Yeah.
So, like, do you go to him as a potential game one starter? Because he's got good stuff on Friday nights. It's just maybe you kind of reverse engineer how you use him. I don't know what they do. All we know right now is that they're not going to start Colin Fisher in game 3 at Auburn. Dave Van Horn did say that after the game yesterday.
Well, so back to the weather. And you talk about, you know, Gabe Gackle being better out of the bullpen. You said it. It's later in the year. We move him to the bullpen. He does better. To me, outs are outs. Like, if you're a pitcher, you can get outs in the first inning or you get outs in the ninth inning.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hitters. I think hitters, you can hit. If you're a hitter, you can hit righties, you can hit lefties. Ball still has to come over the plate. You figure it out. I don't know. It's you wonder what's going to happen, though. And I think going into this weekend, I think we'll determine, depending on how Gabe does Friday night, if he has a good start and we don't have to use
Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Game
sorry.
One is Thursday this week.
Going into Thursday, if we don't have to use Cole Gibler on Thursday following Gabe, and maybe we get by Saturday, we probably see Cole start maybe on Saturday in game 3. I think Dave's going to approach it as we're going to do everything we have to do. And I've seen him do it in years past where Sunday's TBA. He'll go all in on Friday. Let's do what we have to do to win on or Thursday. Dang it.
Game one. There you go.
Let's do everything we got to do to win game one. Yeah. And then we go to game two. We'll do whatever it takes. And then we'll figure it out game 3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bullpen day or whatever. And I think that's kind of how, you know, I can see Dave maybe approaching it more that way.
I'm interested to see what they're going to do game one against Auburn, because I think Gackle, again, he had a good performance against South Carolina, and I don't know how you balance that it looked like he was turning the corner 2 weeks ago, and then he struggles, and there were some struggles that are sandwiched around that South Carolina. I don't know how you approach that, but it'll be interesting, because I think maybe the overarching theme from this weekend is that there are some things that are not working with this team, and so you kind of have to go back to the drawing board and say, are we using everybody in the role that's going to be best for them moving forward? Because there's still a lot of season left.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still 21 SEC games left. And I try to tell people this all the time. Like, what you see this time of year is not necessarily what you're going to see in 2 months. Because there are a lot of people who are, you know, jumping off the wagon right now. All the season's over. They're not going to do anything. And maybe they're right. I don't know. I think it's going to be hard for them to host a regional. I think if they're going to make a postseason run, they're going to have to do it on the road, most likely, like they did in 2022. And there have been some other teams that have done that as well. But I think that a good team and a good coaching staff, and I think this is a good coaching staff, like, they never quit coaching. And there's growth and development throughout the season. And so I still think that there's a decent potential for this team. It's just, it's going to have to look different than how it looked, how you line things up against Florida.
I agree, and I think Dave will figure it out. Dave and the staff will figure it out. But I still look at the lineup, and I see guys that are good players. We haven't figured it out in SEC play yet, but I still see guys that are good players. I see a bullpen that's talented. I see starters that are good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the pieces are there. It just isn't – just like you said, it's not clicking right now. Yeah. And maybe it takes a change to get it to click. Maybe take on a new role, and then, you know, it kind of kickstarts you into something different. I don't know. But I've always seen Dave do it in the past, and I think at some point it'll start to click. We don't have to win 20 SEC games, Matt. I mean,
that's hard.
You don't have to do – we've gotten so spoiled, and we make it look so easy every year. You don't have to win 20.
Yeah.
Let's win enough to get NCAA tournament, and, you know, it'd be nice to play at home in June, but if we're not, who cares? We go on the road and we win. I think we have the guys to go win a regional, whether mm-hmm. it be at home or on the road.
I think, yeah, and you're seeing this with LSU a little bit this year mm-hmm. too. But LSU, even, like, people forget, but, you know, Jay Johnson's first year, they weren't that good. And Paul Menary's last season was not real good for LSU. There hasn't been, maybe other than Tennessee, there hasn't been an SEC program. Tennessee has. So those are the two teams. And Tennessee's going through this a little bit this year, mm-hmm. too. So when you look at Arkansas and Tennessee and LSU this year, it's a good reminder of just how impressive I think the last 5 years have been for Arkansas, for Tennessee, for LSU for the most part, and that just because you're pretty good every year or most years, doesn't mean that you're going to be guaranteed to be good every season. I mean, like, because the same conversation we're having here in Fayetteville about the Razorbacks, they're having that in Knoxville right now about the Volunteers, they're having that in Baton Rouge right now about the Tigers.
Well, and life in the SEC is tough. we know
it
that.
Is.
I mean, you know, Tennessee gets swept. What, got walked off three times
by Vanderbilt.
Who would have guessed that?
And Vanderbilt hadn't been that great this year.
No, they haven't been. And I think the margin for error is so small. That's why I look at this. I'm like, you know, we faced a team out of Florida that played really good baseball this weekend. But if you look at Liam Peterson, he wasn't his best Friday night. 4 innings, 1 hit, no runs, but he walked 6,
mm-hmm.
struck out 7. He's a guy throwing upper 90s, and I didn't see the numbers, but I'd say he was 70% slider, maybe, something like that. I mean, I don't know if he just didn't have a feel for his fastball. I know he left a lot of fastballs high up in the zone. Could have been the weather.
I wonder if that was a game plan, too, for Florida. Because, again, you had a lot of high-velocity fastball guys who were throwing a lot of off-speed pitches. And again, I haven't seen them play a full game before they came to Fayetteville, but it just seemed different for so many big-time right-handers to be throwing as much off-speed stuff, unless that was part of the game plan.
It had to have been because – you see Barbary, Reitner, those guys come in. They did the same thing, and they're throwing 100, mm-hmm. you know, and they're throwing 65, 70% sliders, something like that. Mm-hmm. So now when that happens as a team, if a guy's getting you out with sliders, I say you got to look for the slider. You have to make the adjustment. Mm. You have to adjust to him. He ain't going to adjust to you. Look for a slider. If you want a fastball, sit back and crush a slider right center gap, or maybe hit a hanging slider in a hog pen. You'll get a fastball next at bat. I think sometimes you got to not be stubborn, and you got to be able to give in sometimes and say, look, this guy's throwing 70% sliders. I'm going to go up there and look for one and hammer it.
Mm-hmm. Just the whole weekend, it just felt like the energy in the ballpark was really, how would you describe it? Like a nervous energy? Just it didn't feel like even yesterday when Arkansas was making, you know, kind of that push to try to come back. I don't know. It just and I'm not talking about the dugout, because you said it. You're observing that, and Van Horn said it too after the game, that he liked the energy in the dugout. He liked the fight from his team. But boy, in the stands, it just was a different feel. I don't know how to explain it. Remember the Vanderbilt series in 22? You remember the last – it was Raccoon Weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember – and they lost that series, and then – like, and we talked about it, I think, on our podcast that next week about how the energy in the ballpark just was not very good.
Yeah.
And it was going to be good for the team to get away. I think that you know, their next two series and a midweek game against Missouri State are going to be outside of Fayetteville. In fact, they only play, I think, of their next 9 games, only one of them is in Fayetteville. I think I've got that right. Maybe it's 7, because they go to North Little Rock after they come back from Tuscaloosa in a couple of weeks. It's a good time to get out of Fayetteville and you know, potentially have some bonding time and see if you can get this figured out on the road.
Yeah, sometimes going on the road does galvanize you as a team. You know, you're hanging out a lot. You know, sometimes that's what it takes to come together as a team. Now, as far as the energy in the ballpark, I think Friday it was freezing.
It was cold.
I think that kind of zapped the energy out of the crowd. Yeah. Saturday was a little bit better, still kind of windy and not perfect, but it did feel different though. Mm-hmm. Even yesterday when we were making that comeback, it just
felt lifeless almost.
There wasn't that same energy and buzz. Mm-hmm. Like, when I have the headset on, I can't hear. I hear what's going through the mic. I hear a little bit of the crowd noise. But a lot of times I'll take this ear out, so I want to hear what's going on in the ballpark, hear mm-hmm. the buzz of the crowd. And I love it. And it just – there wasn't – the buzz wasn't there.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
So. A weird feeling. I want to tell you that – remind you, our baseball podcast is sponsored by H&R Tire and Auto. They're a local shop that's been family-owned for 3 generations. They've – built their reputation on taking care of customers the right way. That kind of longevity doesn't happen by accident at H&R Tire and Auto. Going back to Gackle, what did you see from him Friday night that was different from the week before at South Carolina?
He just didn't look comfortable. I mean, just it's like he didn't have a go-to pitch. Mm. He did throw a couple of good changeups, righty-righty changeups. But other than that, he just didn't look like he had a feel for the ball, mm-hmm. to be honest with you. You know, missing, just inconsistent. And he never looked like – a lot of times I'll look either through the binoculars or on the SEC monitor, mm-hmm. and I want to see their face. And he usually looks like calm, under control. I always talk about Kojal, how calm he is. He didn't have that look on his face. It was almost like – I don't know, he just didn't have that same look to me. And, you know, I don't know what it was, but, yeah, something just wasn't right, whether it be the weather. Now, I notice he didn't have sleeves on. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he ever wears sleeves, though. But
yeah, I needed to go back and look that up, because we were talking about does he ever wear sleeves. I don't know if he does.
But when it's cold like that, I know it's hard to get a feel for the ball in your hand. It just doesn't feel the same when your fingertips are cold. Now, you know, maybe that's me just trying to justify it and make an excuse. I'm a Gabe Gackle fan. I like mm-hmm. him. But I just think he has to be better. You have to be able to rely. You can't go into a Friday night game on pins and needles wondering, okay, is he going to give us a good start tonight? You know, I think we've gotten so spoiled with our Friday night guys. But you think about Zach Root last year. Zach didn't get off to a great start. Mm-hmm. As the season went on, he got better and turned into an absolute dude on the mound on Friday nights. You know, we've seen it with other guys. Isaiah Campbell didn't get off to a great start, finished up awesome. So maybe that's it. Maybe it'll start clicking. Hopefully when the weather warms up, you know, we'll see.
Gackle has not worn sleeves this year, by the way.
Has he not?
No, I just looked through all of our photos. Even like Washington State last year, remember it was kind of a cold game. He's just kind of wearing that that three-quarter shirt underneath.
Yeah, some guys don't like it. Several of the guys don't like it. My dad had a rule back in the day, if it was below 60, you got to wear sleeves.
Well.
So.
It was below 60 Friday night, that's for sure.
It was way below 60.
It was cold.
It was cold. It really was. Yeah. That wind was cold.
And it feels colder after you've had a hot stretch. Like because it was about, what, 90 the day before?
Yeah.
And so it makes it, like, I don't know, maybe it's 48 degrees when the game starts. I tell you, to me it felt like 35 or something because your body just, I don't know, you kind of have to regulate to that cold weather again. But Dietz, I thought he gave him, like he struggled with the strike zone some, but he was competitive. And, you know, they're up 3-2 when he comes out for the fifth inning on Saturday, and then it's a four-pitch walk. And that's kind of when the floodgates open for Florida. They bring him out, bring in Steele Eaves. I think a home run was hit during that inning. What did you see from Hunter Dietz?
Well, he was deep in the count a lot. And, you know, if you think about, you know, before at South Carolina, there were a lot of, like, you know, just three-pitch strikeouts, just one, two, three, down, done with it. He didn't have his cutter early on. He went more to the slower breaking ball. Had a hard time. I want to say it was, you know, we're a few innings in before he landed a good cutter. And that's kind of his go-to pitch. You know, he had to go a little bit more to the off-speed, the slower breaking ball. You know, if a guy didn't have his number one pitch, it's not good. And I think his cutter's his best pitch. Now, I think his fastball sets up that cutter, and he didn't have command with his fastball. So it's kind of like, you know, he really didn't have it. I think he did a good job of battling through. Gave us four good innings or four decent innings, but he just wasn't himself.
Colin Fisher, four weeks in a row.
Yeah,
it's not gone well for him. What do you think's going on there?
Well, what did I wrote something down? First time through the lineup, 6 balls over 96, 4 balls over 100. First time through the lineup, and then, you know, he faced another. I think I want to say, you know, second time through, I think Lawson hit one like 106 off of him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a lot of heart. That's a lot of barrels, in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't. His changeup looked good at times. You got to locate the fastball to set up the off speed though. You've got to have, and the breaking ball wasn't consistent. You don't need your changeup and your curveball to be on, but you need one off-speed pitch you can rely on. And I think they were looking fastball, and they were taking the off-speed, looking fastball, getting it. When they got a fastball, they did damage.
I wonder what the role is for him if he's not starting on the weekend. And I wonder if maybe him being their midweek starter again might be the best thing for this team, because they've had some struggles finding a midweek starter. I mean, he's been really good in that role in the past.
Yeah, boy, you hate it because I know he can get outs.
Yeah,
you know.
But you could be a midweek starter and still have a role in the bullpen on the weekend.
Yeah, or I mean, especially when postseason rolls around.
Yeah,
you know, you're gonna be needed then for sure. But you know, when he's good, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
His changeup's really good. I feel like that, you know, if he can just locate the fastball and then go, you know, maybe come in, like he's really good at throwing that two-seam fastball kind of right at the right-handed batter,
mm-hmm.
runs over the front door of the plate, and then coming back with a changeup away. That 1-2 combination's been really good. Well, it was really good at times, and then he's got that breaking ball he can go to. His curveball's really good. They just haven't been on.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he's in a funk. I don't know if it's something mechanical or mental. But
it's just so weird to see it because he was so good at the start of the year. And you could say, well, they didn't play anybody, but they did. I mean, they played a Texas Tech team that, I mean, you can say what you want to about Texas Tech, but year in and year out, that's a team that typically can really hit.
Well, and, you know, I think he was shocked that Dave came out and got him because he just had that big strikeout. Runners at second and third, mm-hmm. threw a really good breaking ball, you know, kind of back leg of breaking ball. I think it was the Bowen.
It was a lefty-lefty matchup.
No,
was it a lefty-right?
No, he threw a breaking ball down and into a righty. I want to say it was Bowen and struck him out. So there's runners at second and third. I want to say Sear was coming up next. And I was just joking with Phil. I was like, you know, I would put Sear on because everything he hits was hard to left field. Mm-hmm. And then let's take our chances with the next dude. And then Dave went out and got him. And Colin looked a little bit frustrated. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe he's frustrated in his performance. Maybe he's frustrated he was getting pulled there. I don't know. But there looked like there was a little bit of frustration there. But, you know, runners second and third, one out. You know, Dave thought it was time mm-hmm. to go to the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, they'd been hitting him hard, like you said. I mean, it was – it wasn't just him. I mean,
yeah, there were a lot of hard hit
McGuire
balls.
Comes in and they hit him hard for, you know, especially that last inning that he was in there. Again, you just go back to Florida. How on earth? And it's not like their record is bad, by the way. It's 23-6, 6-3. Yeah. Like, how many teams would love to have that record now in the SEC? But I guess maybe their numbers offensively haven't been as good. So we'll see if this was, you know, if they did that to Arkansas or if this is something they can continue moving forward. I know this. I would not want to play Florida. I think they are every bit as talented as Mississippi State, who I thought was really good when they came in here. And, oh, by the way, they haven't lost since they left Fayetteville.
So, yeah, Mississippi State's really good. We knew that. But Florida's better than I thought they were. But I was so impressed with their arms. I knew they had a couple good starters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've heard a lot about
their starters really didn't. I mean, like, I'm not going to say their starters weren't any good. But I think if we would have sat here on Thursday last week, Bubba, and said, hey, we know that between Peterson and King, they're going to throw 7 2/3 innings.
Yeah.
How do you like Arkansas's chances? Yeah. I think we all would have said, well, that sounds like it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Problem is, all three of Arkansas's pitchers threw that number of innings.
Yeah, I mean it's crazy though. Like you said, that's a team you don't want to play in a regional,
mm-mm.
Florida, because two good starters mm-hmm. and then, you know, counting the lefty, that's four really good arms coming out mm-hmm. of the bullpen, and those three righties, you know, they're the real deal. They're tough. So I wouldn't want to be matched up with them.
They look really good. Yeah. I mean that again, Arkansas didn't play well. But I think that Florida played really well. And sometimes when a team's playing good, they can make you look pretty bad, right?
Yeah, and they, you know, Phil said something Friday night. After we walked a few batters, he's like, he made a comment, I hope we don't let this Florida offense get hot. Yeah. And a lot of times if you're up there and you're drawing a lot of walks, you're seeing a lot of pitches, next thing you know, you start to get a little bit of confidence. And the more pitches you see, the more confident you are. And I think we instilled a little confidence in them, and they got better as the weekend went on. But I was talking on the radio earlier this morning, and I don't think it's panic button time. I think we just played a really good Florida team,
mm-hmm.
and they just beat us. We'll know more. Let's go to Auburn and see what happens, and then go to Alabama and see what happens. Mm-hmm. I think we'll know more in a couple weeks, but right now we got beat by a team that played really well.
It's better to have this happen in March than mm-hmm. in – mid to late April.
Yeah.
Because you can adjust.
Yeah.
And you can say, okay, well, this isn't working. Where do you go right now? Go ahead.
So from a starting pitching perspective, you know, when you start looking at guys, you know, I know Cole Gibler's one that's probably going to end up at some point being in the rotation. What about a McIlvain?
He was a starter at Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
Didn't go well for him at Vanderbilt, but he does have starting experience.
He didn't have the Fu Manchu.
He did not.
So I think he's changed a little bit. Other than three walks, and he walked three in a row, and I thought, okay, Dave's going to go get him. I love the fact that Dave left him in and let him get out of that inning.
Fought through it.
And that could be a sign that they may be looking at him, you know, hey, can he get out of a jam as a starter?
That's 2 weeks in a row that he's created a problem for himself. Remember at South Carolina, it was three straight singles.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the double play ball, and Pompey booted it. And South Carolina, I think, ended up scoring a run there. I know they scored a run right there. So that's 2 weeks in a row where he's created problems for himself, and he's made the necessary pitches to – get out of that and clean up his mess. And I thought that was really good. I mean, I think that's really good to see for him, because at Vanderbilt, he would make a lot of messes, and then he couldn't. He would just compound it, and it wouldn't get any better. And so that's how you end up with like a 7-something ERA and a whip over 2 last year at Vanderbilt. But he does have starting experience in the SEC.
Right. Well, we talk about hitting being contagious all the time. Hitting's contagious, so's not hitting. I think it's like that with pitching, though. You get a pitching staff that's on a roll. Like you know, Florida this weekend, I mean, they kind of got on a roll. Their dudes, they kept pulling dudes out of the bullpen. They're doing a good job. I think pitching's contagious, but then when you're not pitching well, your starter comes out early. I think it puts pressure on the next guy because he knows, wow, I got to eat up some innings. And the next guy, I think it kind of snowballs from there. And I think that's what you saw this weekend, because I've never seen a Razorback pitching staff walk that many people.
Yeah,
I don't think we will again.
It was most in back-to-back games since a while. I can't remember exactly when, but it clearly was one of their worst pitch weekends they've had in a long time. Okay, so we've talked a lot about what went poorly for Arkansas. I thought there were some things that went well. Number one is I think Carter Rudenbaugh is giving them really competitive at-bats. They moved him to the leadoff spot yesterday. We don't know what's going to happen with Damian Ruiz. We know he's going for an MRI today to get something looked at. He got hurt trying to jump at a home run ball that was like 40 feet over his head during that game against Florida yesterday. Rudenbaugh, though, I mean, he's got the type of mentality I think you want to have at the top of the lineup. I wrote this down. I looked back and I looked at all of his plate appearances last week, beginning with the pinch hit double that he had against UCA. So in 15 plate appearances last week, he saw 83 pitches. That's a little bit more than 5.5 per plate appearances. Of those 83 pitches, 41 were outside the strike zone, 15 were fouled off, 14 were called strikes, 7 were put in play, and this is the number that really impresses me, Bubba. 6 were swung on and missed. So out of 83 pitches, just 6 swings and misses. And out of those 15 plate appearances, you only had 1 at bat with multiple swings and misses. You like his approach, but it's how competitive he is. And you know, like that first at bat that he had yesterday, fouled off 6 pitches, gets into a 3-2 count, and gets a single on the 10th pitch that he sees. Like, I mean, that's the first at-bat of the game. But, boy, if you can do that, like, say, in the 5th inning against a starting pitcher or against a reliever who's kind of at the end of his rope, like, that's the kind of battle that you really want to see. And I think he's you know, the numbers aren't great in terms of batting average, but he does make you work, and he fights you, and he's pretty good at drawing walks.
By the way, that's some pretty good work on the numbers right there. I like that. That's good research.
Thank you.
But you look at his at-bat yesterday, the 10-pitch at-bat, line drive to left center. I mean, man, when you think of a leadoff hitter, you're like, wow, that's what you want out of a leadoff guy. Yeah. And it seems like every time he's in a 3-2 count, fouling off pitches. He did get a 3-1 fastball yesterday. He hammered to right center. So it's not like he's up there just take, looking to walk. I mean, he's not swinging because he's not getting his pitch. If he gets his pitch, he'll unload on it. And I love that. You know, it's too bad he doesn't have the speed of Ruiz. Mm-hmm. He'd be like the ultimate leadoff dude. But, you know, you gotta have a guy up there, and it's demoralizing for a pitcher. Think about it, you're starting out a game, you're throwing a guy 9 or 10 pitches, you know, and then he gets a base hit. You're 10 pitches in, you still don't have an out. You know, it's got to be frustrating for that starting pitcher. And I like the way that he just goes up and grinds out at bats.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I teach my guys to try to win pitches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you take a pitcher's pitch that you don't want to swing at, or if you're fooled on a 1-0 slider and it's a strike and you take it, you, in my mind, you won that pitch because you didn't swing on his terms, right? You're swinging on your terms. So even though it was a strike, you won that pitch. And I try to teach my guys to go up there and just win pitches. You win pitches, then you win at bats. You start winning at bats, you end up on first base. And I'm a money ball guy. For me, it's about finding a way to get on first base. Doesn't matter how you do it, you know, get on first base.
Talking about the count, or you know, taking pitches and driving the pitch count, these were his counts over the last 2 games against Florida. 3-2, 2-2, 3-1, 3-2, 3-2, 3-2, 3-1, 3-1, 3-1. So he goes to three balls in 8 of his 9 plate appearances over the last 2 days.
Yeah. But I wish we had some more guys in the lineup. You know, I get frustrated when, you know, I don't like a guy going up there and swinging at a first pitch slider, rolling over for an out. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're looking for it, you're sitting on it, and you do it. But you can tell when a guy's sitting on it or he's fooled and he just swings and makes mm-hmm. contact. Or the 1-0 changeup or the 1-0 slider. When you're an advantage count, see it and take it. Don't swing. If you're fooled, you know. And I always say, if you're not ready for the fastball, you're not ready to hit. But there's a time to look off speed, and we talked about it. If a mm-hmm. team's game plan is slider, 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 let's give up the fastball. Let's go up there and sit slider and do some damage. Then they have to change their game plan, you know. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, got sidetracked. But I do love his at-bats. And for a freshman to go up there and grind out at-bats like that, it's pretty impressive. He's not afraid to hit with two strikes.
No, he's confident. Yeah. He is real confident. Robinette, I thought he had a good weekend. You know, he had, I don't know, two or three two-out RBI hits. Should have probably had another one with that. I mean, that's a home run ball on most days. You know, just it got knocked down. I mean, it looked like a home run off the bat. I think everybody in the ballpark, probably including the pitcher and the catcher, thought, "Oh boy, this game's tied." But you know, he put together some really good swings, and I was impressed with how he played third base.
Yeah,
like we've seen him play third base a lot in the practices that we go to, the scrimmages in the fall, the preseason and stuff. And so what people have seen in the games over the last couple of days, maybe they haven't seen a whole lot of from him, and maybe it surprises them. But I tell you, it felt like every time that I've seen him in a scrimmage play third base, you come out of there and there's like one play where it's like, wow. And Robinette, that was a really impressive play at third, regardless of who. And then you start thinking about, you know, his size and everything. And, you know, it's just he plays that position, I think, fundamentally well. And, and especially Saturday he did. There were a lot of balls hit at him on that day.
Yeah, if you watch him run, he's not a guy that's going to – he's not a blazer. He's not going to – you know, he's not super fast. But he's good first steps, and he's good at reading the ball off the bat. And you and I talk about it all the time. Good infielders create their own hop. I think he does a really good job of reading the ball off the bat and either coming and getting it, drops it, whatever he's got to do mm-hmm. to get the right hop. I think he does a great job of that. He did a really good job coming in on a couple of choppers that made him look like easy plays, and they weren't easy plays.
What do you think about Christian Turner in left field yesterday? It looked kind of, you know, he's played more right field, even though I think that, you know, he's worked in left. It looked very shaky at times, you know, like slips on a relay throw, bobbles a ball as he's getting ready to throw it in. But then literally like two pitches later, after he slips and falls, he makes a diving catch out there. It was a lot of give and take.
I think the bobble, he looked up to see where the runner was. But I think he's going to be fine out there. I really do. He's athletic. There's no fear in him.
Mm-hmm.
I still go back to Globe Life Field. I want to say it was Texas Tech game. They put him in right field when Cahill got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say one of the first balls hit was a shallow ball into right center, into that Bermuda Triangle. Kozier's going back. He's coming in. And he was confident enough to call Kozier off mm-hmm. and make a really good running catch. That's a guy that's not scared. A lot of freshmen coming in would have let the second baseman make that play.
Mm-hmm.
But he was confident enough to make that play. I think he's going to be fine whether he's in right or left. Looks like he's going to be in left, but I think he's going to do well.
What do you think about his swing?
I like him. So in early spring, I saw him go backside a couple times,
mm-hmm.
deep backside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fastballs away, just stayed on it and mm-hmm. drove it. And we saw it this weekend.
Kind of like with the ball that would have been a home run.
Yeah, yeah. Who was it? Was it right now or Barbary on the mound? One of those dudes on the mound, he came in and hit a couple of line drives down the left field line.
It was against Reitenauer on Saturday. Yes. Hit the double off the wall the ninth inning.
Yeah. So, I mean, he put some good swings on the ball. He's, you know, so when you're going opposite field, you want to stay flatter.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So it's flat opposite field. I love his approach to opposite field. He's short and he's quick and flat to the ball. And, you know, he's not a big guy, but he's strong and he's got those fast twitch, like his bat is real mm-hmm. twitchy. So I think he's going to end up being a really good player for us. Love the way he runs.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he plays at a fast speed, and I like that.
And then we need to have him in left field. We'll see what happens with Ruiz. I mean, you hope for him that this MRI comes back and it's clean and he's not going to miss much playing time. But boy, left field, that has been kind of a snake bit position when you go back to what happened to Brenton Clark in the fall, because I think Brenton Clark was going to be their starting left fielder had he not been injured.
Yeah, I think so. And then, you know, once he got injured, then you could see him and Christian and Damian fighting it out, because, you know, Damian didn't have a very good fall or early spring.
Mm-hmm.
Where Christian Turner, like I said, he hit some balls hard. It seems like every time I went and watched him play, he would have a line drive, a home run to left, or a double in the gap left center, and then he would pull one ball to right center gap. I did see him pull one to right center gap, kind of a routine single that he ended up making a double on, mm-hmm. just because he's so fast. So I think he's an exciting player, and yeah, I could see him at some point being our leadoff dude somewhere down the road.
What about Turner?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, going back to Clark, he's probably going to be their leadoff guy, because he that was his role in the fall, and he was really good at taking walks. So probably their best on the team at taking walks.
How fast is Brenton Clark?
I don't know if he's a burner, but, you know, we talk about those outfielders who have that good first step
mm-hmm.
and can read balls. I think he's that way, and he's a pretty good athlete. He made a play against Dallas Baptist in October during that exhibition game. Like, he robbed a home run, and this is, I told people at the time, I said, like, this play, for people who saw it, is going to, like, gain this legend, because there were literally no cameras on this thing. I think one student photographer got a still photo of him making this catch. But it was the weekend when basketball was in Hot Springs. Calipari had taken his team down to Hot Springs for an open practice. And then the football team was playing at Tennessee that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of the, you know, there weren't, I think I might have been like one of the only media people there, but there weren't cameras there. And then all of the Razorbacks, videographers, you know, the people who do stuff for their social media accounts and things like that, they were all off in Hot Springs and in Knoxville. And so there's no videos. I told them they ought to go back and find like a surveillance camera video of this. Like go find the surveillance camera at the hog pen, and you can see him jump up and make this great catch. All of that's to say, I thought he was pretty good defensively. And he had that step that I thought really helped maybe offset. And it's not that he's slow. It's just, I think if you were to put him in a foot race against Ruiz or Turner or somebody like that, I don't know that he would, I don't think he'd get lapped or anything, but I don't think he's that fast.
Well, if he can hit, we'll use him. And that's the thing he does, is once again, he gets on base.
Yeah.
And, man, I preach it to all ages, learn to hit. If you can hit, a coach will find a place to play you.
He's one to watch for next year.
Yeah.
Because I like the progression that he was on.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed getting to know him a little bit. I've got a chance to talk to him multiple times, and, you know, he's so positive and upbeat, and just he can't wait for next year.
Yeah.
Can't get here fast enough.
You know, that's got to be tough on him, watching the games from the dugout and just, you know, knowing, hey, what if?
Yeah.
You know, but hopefully things go well for him. Before we get out of here, Missouri State tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. Up in Springfield, it's a team, they're 17-9, so similar record to Arkansas's. The thing that jumps off the page to me is that they're 11-0 at home, and they've had some pretty good home midweek wins. They beat up Oklahoma State pretty good last Tuesday night, run-ruled them 16-2. I think ORU went up there and got run-ruled in a midweek game. So they were competitive with DBU over the weekend down in Dallas. This is a game, and certainly when you've got an Arkansas team that's kind of trying to figure it out, this is a game that, you know, it's a big deal when Arkansas comes to Springfield.
Yeah, it's huge. It's really big for them, but I think it's big for us, Matt, because we need to win this game and go into Auburn with a little bit of wind behind our back and just a feel-good win. I think it'd be really good for go there and get that win. Now, they're going to be up for us. We're going to see their best. We always do when we go there. Mm-hmm. I would assume we're going to start Peyton Lee. I don't think they've announced it yet.
They haven't announced it yet, but that would be my assumption.
I would assume so. And then, you know, do what we have to do to win that game. Hopefully, offensively, we can get it rolling a little bit offensively before we head to Auburn.
Zach Stewart got going a little bit yesterday offensively, had a couple of big hits. He gets to go back to Missouri State. Yeah. I talked to him about this a couple of days ago, and I know this is a big deal for him.
Yeah, I hope he has a good game. I really do. Hope he has a good game, hits the balls hard. Look, he's kind of like Ryder. You look at his numbers are a little bit down, but he's had some balls get robbed. He hit a ball 110 that the second baseman caught, like right in the webbing of his glove. I mean, he smoked some balls that have been caught.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm still excited about Zach Stewart.
I thought yesterday was a good sign for him.
Yeah.
Like it's not just a home run. He can hit the two-out single up the middle.
I love when they shift over and I see a big lefty like that. Just take what they give you. Get that RBI single. Just ground ball to the left side with two outs, two strikes. They drive in and run. I love to see that. And, you know, hopefully we'll start to see more of it.
The team, they're going to go straight from Springfield to Auburn. I don't know if they're going to stay overnight in Springfield on Tuesday and fly out Wednesday if they'll just fly to Auburn Tuesday night. But they're embarking on, again, pretty lengthy time away from home. Missouri State at Auburn. They'll be back here on Tuesday of next week to play Little Rock, but then it's four straight away from home again at Alabama, and then people get upset whenever I say North Little Rock is away from home, but that is not a true home game, even though it's a very friendly home crowd.
Yeah. But I think that's what we need right now is good, just getting on the road, getting together as a team. I think that's going to be good for the troops. And then, you know, play a really good Auburn team that got beat up on a little bit this weekend.
They got swept at Alabama.
They're going to be, we're catching them kind of like we caught, unfortunately, kind of like we caught Florida. But, you know, I think if we go in there and play Razorback baseball, I think we're going to be
on the other hand, is Auburn catching Arkansas kind of like what – happened with Florida.
You're absolutely right. That was the next sentence out of my mouth.
That's going to be such an interesting thing to watch, and we'll talk about that Thursday. But like which one of those teams comes out? I think both of them are going to be highly motivated, but which one comes out, you know, really firing on all cylinders? That'll be a big deal Thursday night.
I think so, and I think tomorrow night's a big. You know, let's see how we respond tomorrow night.
Yeah,
I'm interested to see how we respond.
I'm looking forward to going up there.
The lineup that Dave rolls out there, and I think it'll be good. You going?
I'm going. Good. Yeah, I don't like that ballpark, but I'm going. Yeah. They built their press box where basically when you sit down, you can't see the field over the table. Like they built the tables too high, and so in order to see the game, you kind of have to you have to watch the game kind of squatting the whole time. You have to kind of be up like this looking over the table. Otherwise, you can't see from about halfway between the pitcher's mound and home plate if you're just sitting down at the table. It's the weirdest thing. Somebody told me that John Q. Hammonds, who the ballpark is named after, he came in there and he said, yeah, we got to get this fixed. It was like 22 years ago. It never got fixed. So
I'll get you a little booster chair. What is it you take?
I can take a booster chair. Yeah.
You got kids.
Yeah. You think they'd let me
a booster chair?
You think they'd let me walk in with my own chair?
Yeah.
Like one of those real high chairs.
Yeah. You're Matt freaking Jones. You can do what you want.
About that. Bubba, appreciate you being here. One more time, our baseball podcast brought to you by H&R Tire and Auto. They're proudly family owned since 1976. They're trusted across Northwest Arkansas, committed to keeping you safe on the road all season long. You can learn more, schedule service at hnrtireandauto.com. Christina Long and Tom Murphy are going to be in here tomorrow talking Razorback football, spring practice getting back underway here in Fayetteville. Hope to see you then or at our website, wholehogsports.com.